Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check.
I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
These trophy presentations aren't over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer here. Salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Thunderstruck. Yeah,
hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Tame Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk, and we missed him yesterday, but our guy's here today.
Yeah, buddy.
Jay Layman.
Let's go. Hey, let's get this fired up. I am excited to talk Illinois football. Believe it or not, I am. Woo!
Someone's got to be.
Hey, we got to stay positive, right? Or negative.
I'll ask you that as we push along. Jay, 20-7 against Nebraska. It could have very well been 35-7. Nebraska there in that second half had three turnovers inside Illinois' 20, and they were showing some of that Scott Frost DNA late in the game. They're trying to give it back to you, like let you back in the game a couple of times. Illinois wasn't having it. It's just kind of it was a demoralizing loss for those out there that were still trying to find hope and find, well, the schedule. You got Indiana, you got Northwestern, you got Minnesota. I don't think those are good football teams. Unfortunately, neither is Illinois.
I think Nebraska is a bad football team. I had a chance to watch three of their games like from start to finish this year. And this team is not even a top 60 team, top 70 team. There's a lot of group of five teams that could beat Nebraska right now. First of all, they can't throw the football. They're only – solid part of their game is their run defense, which they have a solid run defense. I'll give that to them, but they are in total rebuild mode. These last 2 weeks, guys, we've played against first year head coaches. I know Matt Rule's not a first year head coach, but at Nebraska he is. Mm-hmm. And we haven't been close really in the fourth quarter. I guess we were close against Nebraska, but that was just because they kept giving the ball back to us. You can't score 7 points and expect to win any game. I think the defense played solid in the second half. But, guys, if our offensive line can't block better than what it's done, I don't care what the scheme is. I don't care who our skill guys are. We're not going to win football games. They have not blocked to a level that we can actually have consistent drives and finish drives, and that's our biggest problem.
Jay, I know after the game, Brett Bielema mentioned we kind of got a sense going into fall camp. Of course, the media wasn't allowed inside the door, so we couldn't evaluate that in terms of the reporters on the ground, but that the offensive line was going to be a concern. How I'm guessing it's not fixable this year. How much blame do you put maybe on the staff of not upgrading that position via the transfer portal? Would that have been something you think that Brett could have figured out coming out of the spring? Maybe even guys that, you know, go through their spring camp and have their spring football game and then they hit the portal. And how big of a need is that going into the portal this offseason?
Sure. Well, I would say it's a huge need. You're the head football coach, so obviously everything comes down on you. I will say offensive line and usually defensive line take the longest to build depth in the program. Mm-hmm. We did miss out on, was it the Avery kid who went to East Carolina, right? Well, he committed here and then he committed to East Carolina. No,
there was Avery Jones.
Avery
right?
came from East Carolina, but went to Auburn. He was going to come here.
Yes, okay? Yes, yep.
And he was going to be a plug and play. But at the end of the day, I think most of us thought the O-line was a strength. You had Zy Chrisler, Isaiah Adams, honorable mention, all Big Tens, and you had Julian Pearl. You thought Kreutz would be solid, which I think he's actually been solid, but we've just really struggled at that guard position with Geske and Slaughter. And I think Isaiah Adams has done okay at right tackle. I just think he's a better left guard. I think he's an NFL left guard or right guard. And so I'd love to see him at that. But at the end of the day, yeah, they missed on some transfer portal guys. I don't think it can be fixed this year. By Brett's own admission, Dez Schuster's going to take a while to get into shape. And also, if there were better guys, he said they'd be in there. And so I keep hearing this phrase, and I don't know what to do with it, and that is we got to evaluate what we're asking these guys to do. So they've done that the last 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know what they can do at this point. Mm-hmm. We're not running the football great. We're not protecting the football great. And unfortunately, we have given up so many big negative plays and turnovers. That was not the case last year. You look at last year, Tommy DeVito, say what you want about him. Took care of the football, got rid of the football, was a great game manager, and could get the first down on QB sneaks. Mm-hmm. You had Chase Brown, who I think erased some of those O-line mistakes and beat one or two guys, made the O-line look a little bit better than they were. And you also had a generational defense, basically. A once-in-a-generation defense if you're at Illinois. And you couple all that together, you got an 8-5 football team. Right now, we don't have that going on right now. And so I think Pilstrom played really well as a guy last year that we weren't expecting much of. Honorable mention, all Big Ten. And, of course, Palcho had been there for a long time. And so now I'm going on a little bit of a monologue here, but I want to get into this real quick. I think what hurts, guys, is that it feels like 2002. It feels like 2008. You have a Sugar Bowl year, Rose Bowl year, and then you miss a bowl game, right? And I think what's scary to me is those years were such momentum killers from a macro perspective of recruiting and whatnot. Up until now, Brett Beal has been able to sell, yeah, stuff's different here. You can come here, you can be part of something special. And I think when you start to see people, you know, decommitting, or the players lose faith in themselves, or the fans lose faith, the fans that spent, you know, 10,000 new season ticket fans, I think that's what's so discouraging from an Alarm Bells alumni fan perspective, and it's really, really eating at me. So as much as I want to stay positive, I still think Brett's the guy, and I think he's a great football coach, but there has to be some drastic changes on the performance on the field, and he knows that. That was a long answer to one question.
I'm here for it.
Let's go.
I have a question.
Yes, Kyle.
When you look back at this past offseason, how much of a mistake do you think it was to not be more aggressive in the transfer portal? Because it seems like they had a pretty good sell coming off an 8-win season, especially in the secondary when you send 3 guys to the NFL in the first 2 days of the draft. On the offensive line, Brett Bielema is a guy that has recruited, that has developed a ton of NFL offensive linemen. Do you think it was a mistake?
Tailback, too, yeah.
Running back, too. A lot of positions. How much of a mistake do you think it was to not be more aggressive in the transfer portal? Do you think they put a little too much trust in some of their younger guys to step in and replace the production that they lost?
I think that's a good question. I mean, Brett's been a great developer of talent. He's been that as his whole coaching career. But this is 2022, 2023. It's a drastically different time than even when he coached football at Arkansas, when he coached football at Wisconsin. It was not uncommon. In fact, it was the norm for people to stay 4 or 5 years at Wisconsin. I mean, they were renowned for their redshirt program, which they redshirted almost every incoming freshman. Now, it's a little bit different. People want to play right away. People can transfer. You almost had this feeling, hey, if we get a big recruit, but he's behind somebody and he's not getting enough reps, is he going to stay? So the whole game of college football has changed, and we've got to adjust. And I think transfer portal-wise, other than Luke Altmaier, I'd say Harper's and Clayton Bush, I mean, they gave us good minutes, but we certainly haven't had a splash transfer that you're looking for. You know, look what Purdue did. I'm not saying Purdue's a good football team, but they basically went out to the SEC and got a bunch of defensive linemen to give them some depth. We look at what Minnesota did. They went out, they had recruited a great tailback. They got a 1,000-yard tailback from Western Michigan to come over because they need it. And you're going to need it, right? Because Darius Taylor got hurt, and then Sean Tyler's now the running back. I'm saying they're great football teams,
Well, Nebraska got a lot of SEC guys. Nebraska put on that defense, a lot more physical unit this year.
Right? A lot more physical at the point of attack, run defense. They also got, you know, he hasn't been good. He got beat up by Heinrich Harburg. But Jeff Sims, on paper, looked like a good transfer. 5,500 yards, 41 touchdowns, you know, athletic. I just don't think we did great in the transfer. I think they realized that. We did well in the JUCO market 2 years ago with Chrysler and Adams. But we've got to have more of that, right? And so we've got to figure out. And this is what we see. We see, what was the class? Maybe the second or third class of Lovie Smith, that he had a good class. Sydney and I don't know if Spoon was maybe late in that class, but Quan Martin and had some players, right? Yeah. And what happens is those guys maybe were 2-3 stars, sometimes 0 stars, but they end up playing way too early and they get a lot of experience. And by the time they're juniors and seniors, they're actually able to play at the same level as some highly touted recruit from Michigan and go head-to-head. But there's a vacuum, right? So Lovie Smith had lost momentum in 18, 19, 20. Semi-lame duck coach. People knows it's not going anywhere. It doesn't recruit well. These guys behind him never actually play that much because they have these five-year, sometimes six-year starters or six-year players ahead of them. Those players move on. And oh, by the way, we have a lot of those players moving on next year as well with Johnny and probably Keith and whatnot. We don't.
Maybe even Isaiah, right?
Maybe even Isaiah, right? We move on and there is a vacuum behind it. This happened in 07. Oh, the difference in 07 to 08 was we thought like we'd recruited great on the back end of that, right? We're still not able to accomplish that because we couldn't make up the experience gap. You lose Kirk Kittner in 2001. You still have a lot of talent. Tony Pashos, Dave Deal, Brandon Lloyd, Walter Young. Yeah, that offense has some dudes, right? Jerry Schumacher, still not able to get over the hump once they lose some of those key leaders. And when you lose those key leaders, you got to replace them. So I am monologuing a lot today, guys. We got a lot of text messages we're going to get to you.
It is a balance, I guess, to look micro. The problem is when you're a bad team, and I've covered a handful on the basketball side through the John Gross era, the early Brad Underwood. You reach a point where you know the shortcomings of a team. So instead of harping on that over and over again, you kind of look grand scheme of things, big picture, you zoom out. There are a couple of situations, particularly that first drive for Illinois on Friday night that I want to ask you about. But before I do that, you referenced – the momentum piece. I think that's the biggest thing that our people are having on their minds is all of the momentum sacrificed at this stage of Brett Bielema's year three based on, you know, you win 8 games last year and a lot of feel good off of that. You also talked about recruiting. You did lose Caleb Pyfrom, who was one of your highest ranked recruits, the offensive tackle out of Nebraska. What has to happen the rest of this season? Because now you're going to say a lot of people was like bowl game or bust. But there's a big difference between going 2-10 and 5-7. And I think that – how much does that matter in terms of trying to keep recruits, trying just to keep some respectability or buy-in around this program and not having it bottom out?
I think that's a really good question. I think the start's been pretty devastating as far as to the momentum. Now, you still have 6-7 weeks ahead, 6 games left. You still can make something out of it. It's not – I mean, none of these games are just titans of teams, right? I mean – maybe Maryland's the best football team left on the schedule. And this is why we kind of licked our chops early on, like, hey, this is a great schedule. We thought, oh, they can be toss-ups. They could have 5 wins. They could have 10 wins. Well, we know that 10 wins is not happening, obviously. But they still have time to redeem it. But I guess, and there's a big difference between a 2-10 and then a 5-7. We're like, listen, we had some injuries. This happened. We got it squared away late in the year. We're still marching forward. We got this, this, and this going. So that narrative can kind of take place. At the same time, it seems so far away right now when we watch what's on the field, from the lack of fundamentals of getting off blocks to some of the tackling to actually blocking and then some of the special teams woes that we saw. To me, it just seems very, very interesting. You know, to Sean's point, he texted, are you fellows and Jay concerned the team isn't comfortable going under center? That's been a staple of Brett Bielema for years. What's our offensive identity? I don't think we have an identity. I thought it was a little interesting that they weren't comfortable to even take a snap under center. Yep. I think with some of our backs at 7 yards deep, they could do that. You can also run the naked bootleg a lot easier with the quarterback under center because you kind of fake it. It's a hard play action. So, you know, we got Benny over here. He says, hey, Kyle, Derek, and Jay, I believe the Illini will beat Indiana and Northwestern. I don't believe we beat Maryland, Wisconsin, or Luke Fickell. Minnesota doesn't look good. Hey, Jay, you told me back away from the ledge 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm heading out there. You can call me Sal. Thanks. I feel you. When I was watching that game, I was like, man, this is pretty brutal to watch. And in a 309 area code says, Illinois defense has 2 sacks in 6 games. We do got to get more production from the defensive line. I think it's a little bit higher than that, but the offense outside linebackers have not been great at getting production from the sack perspective. I've been doing a lot of talking. Kyle, go ahead.
I was just going to effort that. It's actually 8.
Okay.
They have 8 as a team, not 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let me ask you this, Jay. People want change, and knowing how important the rest of this season's going to be for trying to, again, maintain any kind of obviously established commitments in your recruiting and just trying to save face a little bit on what is right now has been a complete failure of a season, at least halfway through. Some people would like to see Barry Lunney be replaced as a play caller at this stage, or maybe going into a bye week. That's something that was speculated about after the showing on Friday night when he scored 7 points against Nebraska, and the fact that we keep coming in every week and saying there is no identity. I know you've spoken on it in terms of the offensive line being sure. Maybe something that's just not going to allow you to have an identity or anything effective offensively. But do you think that that's something in terms of whether it's Lunney or just some kind of wholesale change that needs to happen at this stage, or if Illinois were to lose predictably to Maryland, then Wisconsin, then you have a bye week, that Brett would make midseason?
So in short, no. I don't think we're going to be more effective by making some wholesale change right now. We've worked on a system for 2 years, okay? That doesn't make sense. I think our best chance to win is with the staff we have right now. I don't see changes during the season. I really like Barry Lunney. We know Barry Lunney is a gifted offensive coordinator from UTSA. The offense took a jump last year. Obviously, they had a quarterback and a tailback that were a little different and a much more solid offensive line. This year, the offensive struggled. Everybody knows that. We can see that. At the same time, I will say this. I'm not sure any coordinator can fix the offensive line right now or can call a play that actually works. It seems like when we're fresh, first part of the game, stuff scripted, there's a lot of creativity. We move the football down the field. We've had a lack of finishing, right? But I would say that I'm not sure with the offensive line the way it's playing right now if any offensive coordinator is going to do much better. And I think Barry Lunney got here because he's a good football coach, and I can't just blame it on the offensive line because these coaches recruited the line and they trained the line. So it's on everybody. It's certainly not on just one guy, one player, one unit, one coach. They got to get it fixed. But I still think, to your point about, hey, can this be salvaged at 5-7? Could they get to a bowl game somehow? Could you keep some of the momentum going? I still think your best chance to do it is to make adjustments now and figure it out. I don't think a wholesale change would do that.
Jay, let me ask you one more. We'll get to your sponsors, then we can catch a break here and allow some time for more text to pile in. We appreciate everybody out there listening and weighing in on the U of I. Alina Link text line 217-359-2255. That opening drive, and you mentioned being able to finish off drives. And I feel like it felt like that set the tone for the night. Is Illinois has a really nice, like you said, scripted drive to get downfield. 2 opportunities from inside the one. Caden Fagan's not part of either of those attempts. I think that was a pretty relevant and reasonable gripe from fans looking at that. They didn't get him involved, a big bruising back. And then I think the fourth down, was it the fourth down play? Yes, that you take it out of shotgun. The third down was kind of that Philly tush-push or whatever the
tush
heck they're
push,
doing.
Tush-push. Yeah. Yep. Like a rugby scrum.
What did you make of those 2 plays inside the 1-yard line? And did you feel like that set the tone for the night?
I knew they feel like it set the tone. I would say, excuse me. Sorry about that. I would say that on the tush push, it almost looked like when I watched the replay that like Luke dove too soon. You got to kind of stand up and let guys push you. Let Tip, let Reggie push you. We had Kroots who I Josh has done a good job for the most part, but we also had their best player, Nash, Hutmaker or whatever his name was, up one-on-one on him. He was blowing some stuff up. That's not a great matchup for us, right? So I wasn't crazy about that call. The call that they ran on the fourth down was the same play. It was weak side power. They ran that on 2nd-and-3 with Reggie, which Reggie should have got in that time. I thought he just didn't get in. if Reggie bounces to the outside on that play, or if Caden Fagan bounces to his left on the fourth and one in the fourth quarter, those are first downs. So it's not all the offensive line. We got tunnel vision at running back. We're getting a lack of push from some of our offensive line, and we're just letting too much penetration happen. Again, I was talking to Jeremy Warner. He made a good point. Our best player is Isaiah Williams. We try to give it to Isaiah Williams. Boyer misses a block. He gets tackled. But down the goal line, we got to get the ball to Isaiah Williams. He hasn't scored a touchdown yet. One of the leaders in receiving and yard for the Big Ten. But, you know, we just haven't gotten the ball in that space. I know he's little, but he's our best guy. So I don't know what to do. My options are out, too. I'd love to see more quarterback run at the goal line. We've tried that some. Luke's had some success. We didn't see that this week.
It's a depressing start to the season so far. 2-4, unfortunately, could very well be 1-5 as well, going back to that Toledo game. Some would out there wish they could switch sides, like me. I'm sitting here wearing a Arizona Diamondbacks hat. I'm a Cardinals fan at heart, but I'm riding the wave a little bit with the D-backs. A place that you could switch up the sides to, Long Branch Steakhouse, because you know that stuff is plenty of options and plenty of great eats out there with Donnie.
Well, I love the fried pickles, number one. You got to get the fried pickles. If you go, I always mention the fried pickles because they're the best. My kids love them. You got to try the fried pickles before you get your steak. Long Branch Steakhouse is your place to go. The eclectic downtown Gifford, as Lante likes to call it, right? Got to go there. You also got to go to Iroquois Federal. They're our title sponsor for the show. They do so much. Ryan Lowry, Bob Guido, Mark McHale, Brenda Crane. They are your one-stop shop for all your lending needs and your commercial loan needs. Bob Guido's helped me so much in buying rental properties. If you want to buy rental properties, you got a business loan. Bob Guido is the guy. Ryan Lowry, those two are great. They are located in Savoy and in Champaign. In Champaign, Windsor at the Crossing. Savoy just north of Savoy 16. On Savoy right there. On Savoy, in Savoy, on Neil. And of course, Kyle Lewis is my insurance guru. It's Kyle at IPGINS.com. He's with IPG Insurance, auto, home, life, habitational, all my rental properties with Kyle Lewis. He's simply the best, gets you the best rates, and is awesome guy to work with. You got to email Kyle at IPGINS.com.
More texts are filing in. We'll get to those after the break. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. This is The Drive.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Garage for now, put it in the garage for now, put it in the garage for now, put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call Two Men in a Truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, Two Men in a Truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com.
Two Men in a Truck.
Illini fans, gear up for the football season this year with the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Get ready to support your Fighting Illini by shopping their great selection of Illini football merchandise, including t-shirts, sweatshirts, even brand new Nike replica jerseys. Shop with them at the corner of Neil and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campus Town, or online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
I'm Justin Eich, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So, Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eich, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com. When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champaign, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars, they're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champaign. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champaign.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's the best time of the year, homecoming. We can't wait to see you back on campus and at Memorial Stadium on Saturday, October 21st versus Wisconsin. Make sure to get in town early Friday for the homecoming parade and pep rally. Tailgating, family, homecoming, and Illinois football. What could be better than that? Get tickets at FightingIllini.com.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, "We have it when you need it." Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials as well as safety equipment, all available. Call 402-8123. Visit Crossroads Contractor Supply IL.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Long Tay and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk, and it is the Jay Layman Hour. All-American linebacker is in the house. Appreciate that as always. We asked you to continue to weigh in, and we have a text from Randy here. Let's kick this thing off on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Jay, he asked about mock drafts with Isaiah Williams. Maybe Kyle can effort that if he has a chance to find his current projection. But what do you think of Isaiah as an NFL prospect going into this offseason? Is that something that you think he can make that jump after this season?
I think he does two things extremely well. I mean, obviously he lacks the size of maybe your traditional wide receiver, but I think he is a born and bred Wes Welker slot receiver. He has the quickness to be that. Danny Amendola, Braxton Berrios, you name them, you've seen them all. Also, you know, Dante Hall was kind of that before the Chiefs way back in the day.
Yeah.
And that's throowback, right? That's when we were kids. But also has the ability to return punts. So I think you have all those different things. You have that special teams angle. You also have the slot receiver angle. And he's improved every year. Remember, he's only third year playing receiver. I've seen him getting better every year. So I think scouts would look at it and say, listen, he's definitely got the talent and agility that we want. Maybe not the top end speed, but for what we would use him for, I think he'd find a spot in the draft. I'm not saying he'd be a high draft pick. I could see rounds 4 through 7.
Before we move on to, I want to hit defense, I want to hit special teams, but Brett Bielema said on Monday that look for some of those Central Illinois guys to be featured big time coming out of the backfield here going forward. Caden Fagan, Aiden Loffrey. What do you make of that decision? Of course, Josh McCray's injury factors into that, but Reggie Love getting banged up a little bit as well. What do you think of, what does that look like going forward, those guys getting the bulk of the opportunities?
Well, yeah, so our top three backs coming into the year are hurt. Because I'd say Jordan Anderson we thought was probably number three, right? Blew out his knee, and then McCray's out with a neck injury. Reggie's been banged up really the last 2 or 3 weeks. So now we've got Caden Fagan. I want to see what I think is that we need a shift when it comes to the short yardage. I'd like to see Caden Fagan and or Isaiah Williams in at the Wildcat. I think what gives us a better chance. Fagan ran that at Atwood, at Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond. There we go. Got it right for all you listeners down there. He ran that. He ran shotgun quarterback Wildcat out of that. And so I want to see some creativity out of that. Maybe Isaiah Williams gets a couple reps there. We haven't seen much of that this year. I think what we've got to see is more than just run up the middle with Fagan. I want to see some counter plays. I want to see him bounce some stuff. He's obviously a lot better in protection than an Aiden Loffrey. I think Aiden Loffrey has shown he's been able to catch the ball in the backfield some. Fagan's caught a few. He dropped one, I think, last week. But I think Aiden needs to be able to show that he can block in protection. Right now he's undersized. He's got great speed, but we need to put him in a position to actually be successful.
It's hard to take a lot of bright spots away from a 20-7 home loss to Nebraska, but the defense did keep Illinois in that game. They tried to give the offense a chance to come back, forced 3 turnovers in the second half. What did you see defensively, and were you at least a little bit encouraged by that side of the ball coming off a 44-point effort against Purdue.
Well, I know they're both in the prairies, but Kansas and Nebraska are very different offenses, so I'm not going to compare them, but I would say this team is better defensively than they were against Kansas. I'm not saying that Nebraska's offense is a juggernaut. It's awful. It's horrible. I mean, they can't even throw the football, really, right? It's just horrible. Anyway, what I was saying though about the defense is they're at least better than what they were against Kansas. I think Johnny has continued to be really solid. Maybe not the flash plays we've seen at times in bigger games, but that's because less people care, unfortunately. Keith Randolph, I've seen him make good plays. He's had been really productive. Obviously got banged up a little bit. So that's what I think. Dylan Rosiak have a little bit of pop too. I think he's going to be an instinctive football player at linebacker. He's still young, so he's going to get some experience. I think Kreutz is a very instinctive guy. I think Odaluga has the athleticism, but he's learned how to play linebacker still. I think we've really struggled at the corner position. I think Taz can play better. Zach Tobe is young. I think he's going to be good. Xavier Scott made a good play this last week on that interception disguising their coverage. So they were in some bad positions this last game. Well, you know, there was the block punt, there was the kickoff, they didn't play good after the kickoff issue. And then turnover, they were in some bad spots and they played pretty well. They held them to 3 points. Again, Nebraska, not offensive juggernaut. When they play Maryland, we'll see how they really are, because that's a good offense.
I want to get to that here coming up here soon. A 309 asks how many points has the defense given up? How many points has the offense scored? I have it here, 19 points per game for the offense. It's 121st of 133 Division I teams. They're giving up around 29 points per game. That's 30th of 133. Or I'm sorry, that's 90th of 133.
Well, those aren't winning numbers. And so if we mix those together, that puts us as what, the 105th best team or something? Yeah, like if we average that out.
And you got to factor in special teams, which was an issue on...
That had been maybe more of a strong suit, more consistency. Mm. Hugh Robertson had taken a step this year. It was just funky. The rugby punt was funky. I don't know if according to Brett, like he ran too far out and tipped, didn't always run that far out. They almost got the one previous to that block, though. I thought that was going to be blocked. And then don't get me started on the two kickoffs. Like, first off, I will say Memorial Stadium is a wind tunnel at times, but that should be our advantage. We practice there. Everyone knows it. It's well known in the Big Ten, especially if you're going, I think the wind was coming out of the north, I think, and kind of blew that football up. And who's ever back there? That is a high school mistake. It's a live football. You've got to be aggressive. And, you know, like we see it with fly balls all the time. People call off, I got it. Like the returner always has it unless he calls you off, right? And so – I know that it was, and then it happened, almost happened again. So I think Canary Wiltshire was back there, maybe Aiden Lawford. I'm not sure who's ever back there. It's gotta be coached that they gotta get that. So that was a discouragement. I think seeing those mistakes makes me just kind of get a sick feeling in my stomach, because we haven't seen those mistakes until now under Brett. We've seen a lot of clean football, and it just hasn't looked clean this year. And maybe that's just a lack of experience and athleticism showing out. You know, the less athletic I am, the less experience I have, the more mistakes and penalties I have, because you're really straining. You're trying to come from behind. You just can't be in control, where last year we were ahead a lot of times, milk the clock, and much more in control.
Before we dive in a little bit on Maryland, I want to ask you kind of another big picture question and kind of pick your brain in terms of the psyche of a locker room when you're going through some struggles. You, of course, were on some teams that had rough seasons prior then to 07, and you were not part of that team in 08 that failed to live up to expectations similar to 02, and unfortunately that's becoming a trend here after a big season within the last 25 years or so. But was there anything that you still had buddies on that team? I mean,
sure,
Britt Miller and whatnot. Was there anything that you heard from those guys about what it was like to go through a year where you come off the Rose Bowl, there are still guys there from that team and expectations
around
them? I mean, what do you think what goes into the psyche of a locker room for guys that have been on a winning team and then have failed to live up to it the next year, or just in general when you're not you're not playing good football, and it kind of snowballed.
So first off, I was there when Ron Turner got fired, and it was kind of like in 2004, we kind of knew it was done. It was near the end. I mean, the previous year we were 1-11, then we were 3-8. I mean, or 3-9 or something, and you kind of knew, okay, this is probably going to be the end. Then we were with Zook. What was the thing about Zook was he always painted a picture that we were going to be good. Like, you just keep working, it's going to happen. Now, I was also part of that 2005 game against Penn State where we lost like 63-6 on ESPN. Like, it was just brutal. I mean, I've never been beat so bad in my life. I'm going all the way back to when my brothers were 11 and I was 5. You know, so like, I've never been beat that bad in my life, and that was bad. And then we saw progress in 2006, but still it was like, it was a miracle if you got a win. Like, when we beat Michigan State in 2006, it was like, oh my gosh, we beat a Big Ten team. It was like, then you get like in the 2007 season, you start beating, you realize you're good, and you're like, man, we're actually pretty good. And we're so not used to being there as a program that I do think complacency can come in. We lost a lot of good leaders on that football team. Obviously lost a first round tailback as well.
Yep.
You know, an All-American lineman and Martin O'Donnell. I was an All-American. Two really hard hitting safeties, Chris Norwell, who's one of the best defensive linemen that people don't talk about a lot. So they lost a lot of big pieces, but I think in talking to that crew, it was almost a lack of chemistry. And when they saw that stuff was starting to go downhill, about midway through that season, I think they kind of lost their mojo, lost that team a little bit, and I wasn't there. But it was disappointing. And 2009 wasn't even any better. Mm-hmm. I think that was the disastrous Fresno State game, right? I mean, that was just horrible the way everything ended those 2 years. And they bounced back in 10 and 11, but it was unfortunate how that went.
Yeah, and I think that 2008 team, more talented than the one that we're looking at right now.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a little bit different of circumstances.
I mean, think about it. They had Corey Legit. That's a Pro Bowl tackle. They think they had, I'm not sure Michael was on that team yet. Michael LaShore, he might have come in then. But they had Juice Williams, Jeff Cumberland.
Still had Aurelius.
Aurelius Ben. Oh, yeah, really? So
Vontae, I mean, on that team too?
Vontae was on the team. Get this. Your receiving core was at tight end. You had Jeff Cumberland at tight end, and he'd flex him out. They had Aurelius Ben. They had Chris James, he wasn't great, but he was solid. I don't know if A.J. Jenkins was there yet or not as a freshman. But, I mean, the receiving core right there, I mean, they had some legit dudes. Obviously, not able to make it happen, which was unfortunate. I also thought when Mike Locksley left, he didn't leave that year. I think he left in 2009. I think he left 1 year after the Rose Bowl. They took another step back, too. Mm. And speaking of Mike Locksley, huh?
Yeah, great transition. Like you said, probably the toughest opponent, especially you factor in going on the road, Talia Tagovailoa, the best quarterback that you're going to face the rest of the year, probably up there with Jalen Daniels in terms of overall talents at the position. How tall of a task is this for Illinois, you think?
Well, what's interesting about Maryland's football team is what they've been able to do on defense. Everybody knows about their offense, but up until they played Ohio State, which Ohio State usually can break the streaks that you're on, but I think they had 6 or 7 games where they didn't give up 21 points or more. So, I mean, that's a pretty good run for scoring defense if you're Maryland. They've also got a bunch of turnovers this year. This is a totally different offense than what you're accustomed to seeing in the Big Ten West. For instance, I was covering their Maryland-Indiana game, and in the first half, Maryland had the ball all of 9 minutes and scored 27 points. So their ability to strike quick is pretty amazing. Caden Prather, West Virginia transfer. You've got Jayshon Jones, Corey Dyches. They've got a lot of talent all over the field when they come to throwing football. They haven't run the football as good as a Mike Locksley team usually likes to run it with Roman Hemby, although Mike likes to run it out of the spread. I think this is a 9-1 football team. I mean, they could possibly beat Penn State. I think they're more explosive than Penn State offensively. They don't have the dudes defensively that Penn State has. But it's a good football team. And the funny thing is I see the same plays that we ran. Not nearly as much as option or zone read, but a lot of the slants, a lot of some of the run plays they run, the counter he loves to run. It's Mike's offense. And obviously, I don't think you'd find a coach in the country that has developed more as a head coach over the last decade than Mike Locksley. From where he was at New Mexico to where he is now in a very tough division. It's only going to get better, I think, as they break up the Big Ten for him, as they have a little bit more parity on their schedule. He's a guy that I think could stay at Maryland a very long time, always get players and win 8 games a year, maybe have a special year every 5 years. He's done a tremendous job.
That was a 20-17 football game in Columbus going into the fourth quarter between Ohio State
and
Maryland
yeah.
This past weekend. What did you make of the way that they competed against Ohio State? Was it just one where Ohio State's talent ultimately won out and they were able to tack on some touchdowns late?
Yeah, here's the thing when you're playing Ohio State is you'll be able to hang with them, okay? And the moment you make a mistake, they will not just put a touchdown on you. They'll stack 2 or 3 on you. Now, what I was impressed by Maryland was they threw a pick six early in that game, second quarter maybe. Mm-hmm. They were up 10-0, threw a pick six. And usually that's like, okay, let's go, time to play. And they'll stack points on you pretty fast. I was impressed they fought back from that. They were obviously outmanned a little bit in the trenches. But I thought that was going to be a close game. I thought it was kind of play out how it was where, hey, it's going to get in the fourth quarter and they're going to wear them down and their big plays for Ohio State are going to come through. But they certainly look like they belonged on the field. And I don't know if that would be the same if we played Ohio State today.
Right.
I would doubt that at this point.
I want to ask you one more and then we'll catch a break. As far as Illinois' weaknesses, we know up front, offensive line, you mentioned, especially as we look at this game, probably the back end of the defense. What would you, if you're in a defensive meeting room, what do you have to do against Tagovailoa to try to make him uncomfortable, to try to allow that defense to have a chance? And what do you think Maryland defensively does to Illinois in terms of they're trying to run the football, they're trying to keep Altmaier clean? Is this a problematic matchup in that standpoint?
Yeah, so good question. So when you talk about Taulia Tagovailoa, they've got a great RPO game, number one. So they're going to run that zone. They're going to run a counter play and run an RPO off of it. And they're going to bang that all the time. And they got big receivers, Jayshon Jones, Cambridge. We talked about it, right? They're going to bang that, and it's going to be good. But then they're also going to hit you up where they're going to run 2 or 3 guys in the zone. They're going to confuse it, kind of like Nebraska did against Zach Tobe, where they kind of confused and ran 2 guys in the zone. And they'll take probably 6 to 8 vertical shots a game, which is a lot for a team. I mean, he will go deep, and they will take 6 or 8. And they've hit about 2 or 3 a game on vertical shots, and that's kind of how you do it. That's how you're scoring 27 points in 9 minutes. So, listen, Mike wants to throw the football, but he wants to score points. And so they're going to try to put it up. Now, the second part of your question was us running the football. I think we're going to struggle. But Maryland's actually got a decent defense. And we haven't had one for, you know, the first couple of years, they really struggled to stop people. They tried to outscore people. They've got a decent defense. I think Tarheeb's still one of the best corners in the league, size-wise and aggressiveness. And up front, they've been strong. So I think we're going to run the ball better than Nebraska, because Nebraska's a little bit better run D. But I think overall, this Maryland team has a knack for turnovers. If you lose the turnover battle, you have no chance against Maryland. And I think for Taulia, one thing you got to make him do is he actually scrambles pretty good, throws in the run pretty good, but you do have to make him move and scramble to his left more than, you know, his right. You know, his brother's a southpaw. Taulia's a right-handed quarterback. But you see what Tua is doing right now. Mm-hmm. It's pretty remarkable. I think Taulia has a similar talent. I really do when you look at his arm. Now, he's more slightly built and – speaking of the tush push, that they don't even leave him in for the tush push. They're bringing Billy Edwards to push. He's the backup quarterback. They'll bring him in for the sneak. Everyone knows, because they just don't want to get Taulia hurt, because he has taken some shots. But I think you got to make him move. I think we got to make him uncomfortable. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to get much pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. Kyle, you know a thing or two about Tagovailoa's.
I do.
Miami Dolphins fan. Living right. Hey, my Bears won last week. Your Bears, too.
Yeah, great game. I mean, it was the Commanders, but we'll take it. And I saw, speaking of the Dolphins, I saw Mike McDaniel. You know, they said, you've had more yards than anybody in the first five games. He was like, yep. When I thought season goals, I thought, man, statistical number one, you know, it was being statistical number one through week 5 was my number one goal. He's a funny dude. He's kind of refreshing when it comes to coach speak. I mean, we cover a lot of coaches, right, guys? I mean,
yes.
And some of these Big Ten coaches, they'll remain unnamed, but, you know, some of these Big Ten West coaches especially, like, they sound the same every week. And I guess you don't gain anything from, you know, saying something or being a soundbite, but it would just be a little bit entertaining for the guys that follow us. Speaking of entertainment, you guys need to check out Long Branch Steakhouse. Long Branch Steakhouse is the place to go for all of your dining needs in Gifford, Illinois. But listen, Gifford, Illinois, just north of Champaign, about a 30-minute drive from Champaign-Urbana. Go check it out. Long Branch Steakhouse. I love the fried pickles. You got to try the fried pickles on the apps. Mac and cheese, also good. The frog dressing sounds gross, actually good. Also, Kyle Lewis at IPG. That's Kyle at IPGINS.com for all your insurance needs. Auto, home, habitational. Kyle Lewis is the main man. He is my insurance agent. You ever have a claim? Great service. You ever need great rates? Great rates. Auto, home, life, habitational. Does all my rental properties. Kyle Lewis and the guys who give me the loans on my rental properties are Iroquois Federal. Iroquois Federal, Mark McHale, Bob Guido, Brenda Crane on the residential side, Ryan Lowry. They do a phenomenal job of actually servicing their loans, of giving you the best rate, giving you the best terms. Check out Iroquois Federal.
We're going to catch one more break and then wrap up with Jay Lehman. Any final texts, get them in now, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. This is The Drive.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you can save an average of $889. The Brian Hansen State Farm Agency is ready to help you combine home and auto and save in Champaign-Urbana. Call 217-344-1900 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Average annual household savings based on 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Like every bank, there's a time every day when we stop making loans. But at Iroquois Federal, we never stop making a difference. Thanks to an amazing team of employees who give back to their local communities all over Central Illinois. From hospital boards and local school programs to Kiwanis and the United Way, Iroquois Federal employees donated more than 1,000 volunteer hours last year. And we'll do it again next year, because the only thing we like more than making a loan is making a difference. Iroquois Federal. Still friendly, still local, still here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey Illini fans, it's the best time of the year, homecoming. We can't wait to see you back on campus and at Memorial Stadium on Saturday, October 21st versus Wisconsin. Make sure to get in town early Friday for the homecoming parade and pep rally. Tailgating, family, homecoming, and Illinois football. What could be better than that? Get tickets at fightingillini.com.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call two men and a truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, two men and a truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com. Two men and
a truck. When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champagne, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars, they're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champagne. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com. Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call two men and a truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, two men and a truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com. Two men
and a truck. Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
So Finishing up here on The Drive with Sam Piper, our segment with Jay Layman. We had a couple of texts on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Big Def wants the recipe for the frog dressing. I don't know if we can do that.
I think that's top secret. You got to talk to Donnie on that. There's no idea what's in frog dressing. I know it looks orange. It's like the secret sauce for the Big Mac, right? Nobody knows what it is, right? It might be Thousand Island for the Big Mac, but I don't know what the frog is. Definitely not Thousand Island, because I'm not a Thousand Island fan.
And even if you did know, I don't think we can get that out.
No, that's just proprietary.
You got to go check that out. Donnie and the Long Branch, they do it right. Randy says, if anybody has any poll, no more home games on a Friday. I thought the turnout wasn't terrible. It was decent.
It's fun if you win. Everything sucks if you lose. I'm not against it, right? I just think at this point, we gotta play better football, because every football game is miserable when your team's playing bad.
No doubt. I wanted to ask you before we get out of here about some of the other results in the Big Ten over the weekend. I wondered about that Purdue-Iowa game, the fact that McNamara was out. Purdue looked pretty good against Illinois, albeit against the Illini, who were wondering how...
Yeah, FAU looked pretty good against Illinois,
how
too.
How bad they are, yeah. Iowa gets it done, 20-14. What'd you make of that one?
That's so typical Iowa, right? I mean, they have more wins than anybody in the country, and when they have less than 250 yards. That's how good they are on defense and special teams. But, man, that's typical Iowa. Iowa can beat Purdue by 6, and then they might, you know, beat a really good team by 2, and then they'll play Western Michigan, and they'll beat them by 3 or maybe lose by 3. That's what happens with Iowa. But they're consistent. I know people get on Brian Ferentz. I know there's the contract clause. You know, has to average 25 points a game. It's not looking good right now that he's actually going to average the 25 points a game, especially if they lost Cade McNamara. But I always say this, too. Cade McNamara wasn't a world beater either. Let's be honest. I mean, he was like 100th rated out of like Power 5 QBs. So I get that he was supposed to be great, but he wasn't playing great.
Wisconsin is able to handle Rutgers. Admittedly, I don't know how good Rutgers is because I haven't seen them. But
they're better than you think. They're 4-1. I know they beat Northwestern. They beat Vatek. I know those aren't great football teams, but they're a Greg Schiano team. They're going to play defense, be very physical. They're a beat you down or break, meaning they don't bend and break. They beat you down, meaning they're going to give you everything they can, the kitchen sink, and then they will break sometimes. They broke a couple times, obviously, against Wisconsin, but I think they're playing better football than we would right now. If we played Rutgers, we'd get beat by Rutgers right now. Ooh. They're running the football consistently. Gavin Wimsett actually is throwing the football every now and then. This is a 6-7 win team, a bowl team in the Big Ten East.
Minnesota's not playing very good at football. Mm. They got boat raced by the Michigan Wolverines, 52-10. But does that say more about how good Michigan is, or that Minnesota's having a really down year?
Well, Minnesota and Northwestern and Nebraska about the same. I mean, remember that game was really close in week one. But they both got about beat the same by Michigan, literally boat raced. Michigan is getting better and better. Or maybe the Big Ten West is just that bad. I mean, they were playing close with Rutgers, played a semi-close for 3 quarters. Bowling Green played a semi-close for 3 quarters. They go to the Big Ten West, 45-10 Nebraska, 52-10 52-10 versus Minnesota. So I think Michigan's good, but I don't know if they're as good as they've looked the last 2 weeks.
Do you still think they're the – do you feel like they're the favorite to come out of the Big Ten and go to the playoff?
I've been changing my mind on this. I thought it was Penn State for a while. I was high on Penn State. I think Drew Aller just misses a little bit for me in the clutch situations. I just think he's not as poised, or they can't rely on him enough for that big third down when they need her in the red zone. I just haven't seen that. Hasn't made big mistakes, but hasn't really been a game changer. I think Ohio State, Kyle McCord's starting to get some of that confidence. And I would say this, when you look at what Michigan's done to Ohio State, they've bullied them the last 2 years. So Michigan's been the bully on the block. I've always thought Ohio State has better skill players, but I've always thought the last 2 or 3 years, up in the line, Michigan's been better. So where's the game won or lost? I tell my sixth grade football team, on the line. So I think I'd go Michigan right now.
I got my last question for you is, Bears fans out there have wondered, hey, Jim Harbaugh, a lot of success at Michigan, obviously beating Ohio State. Could he be convinced to come back to the NFL? Kevin Warren, maybe a Michigan guy. He pulled some strings from Michigan to win the Big Ten title in basketball 1 year. That's kind of half joking, maybe half not.
He pulled the strings in penalty of us, right? Yes. Didn't we have a better record? Yeah. Give me a break.
Better win percentage.
I don't. I mean, I
guess yes. More wins, but not the better winners.
So, would Kevin Warren have pulled to get Jim Harbaugh there?
Could he get Jim Harbaugh? What would you make of Jim Harbaugh?
Jim interviewed with the Minnesota Vikings last year before they hired Kevin O'Connell, and he said, "I'm never interviewing again."
He's been rumored. I'm at
Michigan for life.
Yep.
And I will say, for a guy that's lost a boatload of coordinators over the last like 3 or 4 years, the product is consistent. It's like when you go to McDonald's. It's like the product is consistent no matter where you go. That's Michigan football. It's been consistent. And so I don't think the Bears need, the Bears need a lot. Let's just put it that way. There's too much to talk about what the Bears actually need.
We got another hour. You want to stick around and talk about it? No, I'm just kidding. Speaking of consistency, our great sponsors, Jay obviously is awesome every Monday, and then today an exception on Tuesday. But the sponsors are who makes it happen. Before we get out of here, got to give them one more shout out.
Yeah, Iroquois Federal, your one-stop shop for all your lending needs, especially commercial lending. Talk to Bob Guido, Mark McHale, and Ryan Lowry, Brenda Crane on the residential side in Savoy and Champaign. Of course, Kyle Lewis, he's my personal insurance guy. You need insurance for a lot of stuff like auto, home, life, health, habitational. Habitational is for any rental properties you may have. Kyle at ipgins.com, independent broker. He gets you the best rate around. Great service. And we got a claim, he's there. He might not be like a good neighbor, but he's a good brother. And then there's Long Branch Steakhouse. Long Branch Steakhouse, the place to go. Remember what you got to try first before you get the steak, the fried pickles. I'm going to make the fried pickles famous there. All right.
Great stuff as always, Jay. You never disappoint. Enjoy chopping it up with you. We'll see you next Monday.
See ya.
All right. Catching a break. Stick with us. We'll talk some hoops. It's Big Ten Media Days there in Minneapolis today. We'll get Brad Underwood to you, and we'll talk a little bit of basketball. I think some people are looking forward to that as we go. This is The Drive.